So true, merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belong. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. Completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his wills obey. He your savior wants to be. Be saved today. Love lifted me. Love lifted me.
May be seated.
Brother Ken, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we ask for your forgiveness tonight. We pray that your spirit would dwell in this house where two or more are gathered. We just want to be careful to give you the glory and the praise and everything we do here at Calvary. We ask for your love, blessings, and your patience. God, your strength, your wisdom, and your mercy. Father, thank you for all that you've done for us. We ask for you to lead and guide us in all things. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to page 149.
Praise Him, praise Him,
guys, I'm not ready for these high songs. Let's go to page 152 next. Last song, we'll go to page 112, and we will have an offering picked up, like the same as usual. Plates are in the front and the back. Grace alone.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for another evening to be able to gather in your name. We pray that as we open up your word tonight, help us to learn from it, help us to take it with us and to ponder on it every day this week, Lord, that we may be able to take your word and use it for your purposes. We pray that you would help us to give to you freely with a joyful heart. And we thank you, Lord, for all you've given to us. We thank you for this congregation. We thank you for the men and the women who have stepped up and taken roles. And we just pray that you would just guide us, Lord, and that we would worship you together in unity. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good to be back this evening. Glad to see each of you. Yesterday, Pat and I had the privilege of traveling up to Norman to observe our oldest grandson graduate from OU. That was a good experience. But on the way back, noticed a sign over here on the Highway 51 that said on May the 23rd that Highway 151 would be closed. I wondered about that. Why would that be? Just for one day. What kind of a project would they be doing for one day? Deborah came in with an answer tonight. Several of us next Sunday are going to be impacted. Starting about 3 o'clock next Sunday morning, they're going to start the Tulsa Ironman race. And I'm not sure where all that's going to go, but it's going to result in 151 being closed. And it's going to result in some of the roads up north up here being closed. And I don't know what all else, but Deborah back there has a sheet that shows what roads are going to be closed at what time. So if any of you are interested in that, you might catch Deborah there and take a look at that paper, because it may be kind of tricky for some of us trying to get to church next Sunday morning with some of the roads that they're going to have blocked and closed for the Ironman race. There'll be certain roads that'll be closed beginning at 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't think 151 closes at 3 in the morning, but it'll be where I think they start out. They start out with a run. I think, do what?
I thought it was the swimming that started.
I don't know which order they go in. But the Ironman, they swim, I don't know, 10 miles or whatever it is. Huh?
It's right around 2.5 miles.
Swim 2.5 miles?
Yeah.
Okay. They run 26 plus miles, and then they ride a bicycle for 125.
Yeah, I've done it a couple, 3 times.
but they have it kind of mapped out, and certain roads will be closed for a certain period of time when they think people will be on those roads. So you may want to check that out because it may impact you next Sunday morning trying to get to church. And there will be roads that will be closed, not the entire time, but I think it ends at 1:30 in the morning on Monday morning. So it's going to last, but it's going to impact some of us at certain hours. So anyway, thought I'd share that. Do appreciate you being here tonight, those of you who were brave enough to endure this morning and come back tonight. Appreciate you. And if you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4. And before we begin, I would ask Jim if he would pray for us.
Heavenly Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, tonight, Lord, that we would be hungry for the Word, Heavenly Father. We would be hungry for the truth. And Heavenly Father, I pray that those words that are expounded upon tonight, Lord, would be received by each one of us, Lord. And Heavenly Father, I pray for each one here tonight. I pray, Heavenly Father, for Ron that she brings the word. I pray, Heavenly Father, for those that are here, that their hearts and their minds might be receptive, Heavenly Father, to your word. Lord, I pray for those that are going through trials and tribulations at this time in their life, and for the loved ones they have that are going through those, Lord. And Lord, let us not forget that we're here to be a witness to you, Heavenly Father. And those things we recognize and we accept, Lord. So Lord, just be at home tonight as we bring the word and be with us as we open our hearts and our minds, Lord.
Yeah. Okay, we'll begin in Acts chapter 4 at verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and they cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they could punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, 'Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things?' The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. 2 weeks ago, we were not here last Sunday night. 2 weeks ago, we had left Peter and John shut up in jail overnight. They had simply been on their way to the temple. And there as they entered the temple, there was this man, and he was asking alms. And we all know the story, and we talked about it 2 weeks ago. He asked for alms. And Peter looked at him, and he said, "Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give you." And the man was healed. And as he got up and was moving around, this man, the Bible tells us here, was over 40 years old. He's been crippled his entire life. For years, people have carried him there to the gate of the temple and left him there each day to beg for alms. And there is the people of Jerusalem came in and out of the temple. They had seen him here for years. They were well aware of who this man was. And here he is, all of a sudden, over 40 years old, and he's up moving around completely healed. And as this took place, people began to gather. You can imagine what was taking place there. People began to gather there in Solomon's porch. And as all of this took place, the authorities got concerned. So they go down and they gather up Peter and John and they take them and lock them up. And that's where we left them 2 weeks ago, locked up. But here we begin in our reading today. It says, it came to pass on the morrow, the next day. Here we have this assembly, this gathering. It's their rulers, their elders, the scribes. We have Annas, the high priest. Caiaphas, who had been the high priest. And some other important dignitaries there. They were all gathered there in Jerusalem. And they send and get Peter and John and bring them. It says, and when they set them in the midst, they ask a question. They pose the question. By what power or by what name have you done this? How did this come about? This is the question. Now, you know, Peter, he's an interesting character. Just a short period of time before this, he had told Jesus, he said, I'll die for you. He was even, when they came for him, he pulled out his sword and he cut the ear off of one of the guys. He was prepared physically in a battle to fight. But when it got down to the nitty-gritty and the words and the questions, he denied. But something's happened. Christ has resurrected. Amen. He has spent 40 days with the apostles. He has taught. They have seen him. They've handled him. And then he has given them instructions and he has ascended. Things are different now. He tells them, you shall be my witnesses. That was their responsibility to witness of what they had seen. Not something they had heard, but the apostles witnessed what they had seen. 12 of them, and all 12 of them go to their death testifying of the same thing, that Jesus was resurrected. None of them wavered. There was no drifting away from it. So here this question is posed. Now Peter, on the day of Pentecost, got up and witnessed. And he confronted those people gathered. He said, you condemned Jesus. You crucified him. He didn't pull any punches. Now here, when this crowd had gathered after this healing, again, Peter gave witness that Jesus, whom you condemned, whom you crucified. Now then, here he's brought in before these rulers and scribes, and the question is asked, and here he goes again. Here he goes again. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if you're going to ask us how this came about, I'm going to tell you. You're asking? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you how this man who's been crippled for over 40 years, how he's whole. What happened here? In verse 10, he said, be it known unto you all. He don't want anybody left out. He wants to tell everybody, every one of you, to all the people of Israel, everybody, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom, what? You crucified. This don't sound much like a coward to me. You know, we've been seeing this thing about boldness. We talked about boldness this morning. Here it is again. Peter is bold. He puts it out straight. He's not wishy-washy. He's not sugarcoating it. He's telling it just exactly right. You crucified him. But he is the reason this man is whole. He goes on there in verse 11. He said, this is the stone. This is a prophecy from the Old Testament. Which was set at naught. In other words, he was rejected. Jesus was rejected by you who are supposed to be the leaders, the builders, and so on. But even though you rejected him, what's happened? He has become the head of the corner. Remember what we're talking about in these nightly services. We're talking about the church, how the church was built. And he's laying it out that this church is built, and the chief cornerstone, it all rests on Jesus Christ. The stone that the leaders rejected, but he's chosen of God. He is precious. He is the basic bedrock foundation of the church. And he goes on, he said, neither is there salvation in any other. You can look high, you can look low, you can go here, you can go there, but you won't find any other name anywhere whereby you can be saved. There's only one name where salvation can be found, and that's in the name of Jesus Christ. So, verse 13, notice, now, when they saw, what? The boldness of Peter and John. You know, they probably called them in thinking, we'll just kind of threaten them here a little bit and that'll be the end of this. But it didn't happen that way. Peter confronted them. He put it right out there in front of them. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and also they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, a lot of times we think the word ignorant is really a bad thing, but we're all ignorant in some way. Ignorance simply means lack of knowledge. There was a lot of things that Peter and them didn't know. I mean, they were fishermen after all. They hadn't spent a lot of years in school. School is a good thing, but it's not the answer to everything. I'd a whole lot rather have someone that's had a personal experience with Jesus Christ than to have someone that's had all the schooling in the world. Now, schooling can help. Don't misunderstand me. But if that's all you got nothing. It's got to be based on a personal experience with Jesus Christ. So they saw that these men, they were different. And it says they marveled. This was just not what they expected. And they took knowledge. They took knowledge of them. These men that were ignorant and unlearned, all of these religious leaders are get knowledge from them. And that knowledge was that they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. That's the thing that we need. We need to be with Jesus. We need people who have been with Jesus. So it says in verse 14, and beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. They couldn't deny it. Here the man stands, and everybody here has known him for 40 years. He's been crippled. Not now. So they can't say, well, this has been faked, because it was real. It happened. So what'd they do? They said, y'all step out a minute. So they stepped out, and they're going to talk it over. You know, sometimes people won't do that. Send somebody out and talk it over, you know. Well, they got to talking about this, and they said, well, we can't deny that there was a miracle that took place. So let's just threaten them. We'll threaten them. And we'll try to put a stop to this. So when they called them in, back in verse 18, says they commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. You reckon that's going to do any good? No, I think something's already got a hold of Peter. I think something's already got a hold of John. I don't think they're going to be afraid of him now, because they've seen Jesus crucified. They've seen God raise him from the dead. I don't think they're very much afraid of these guys anymore. I think things have changed. Here's what Peter and John said. Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. You be the judge of it. If you was in my shoes, would you listen to you, or would you listen to God? In other words, Peter says, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Wouldn't it be great if we had a church full of people like that today? He goes on, he says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We've seen it. We've heard it. We can't be quiet about it. We got to speak about it. That's what Jesus told us to do. He said, you be my witness. I think Peter and John are going to stay right with it. So that wasn't good enough. So when they had further threatened them, they threatened them some more. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. Now, you see, in Jesus' case, there was really no cause for him to be crucified. But the people were hollering, crucify him, crucify him. So, you know, you can get away with things when everybody's going along with it. But here in this situation, you've got all of these people, and they're seeing this man there that's been healed. It's not going to work to do something with these guys, because the people are not going to stand for it. They have seen it now. They know. So it says in verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They went back to the church. You know, I was thinking about that when I was studying this. You know, we used to have testimony services. Some of you probably remember those good old days when we had testimony services. And people would come in and tell about things that had happened in their life and how God had blessed them, how God had protected them, what God had done in their life. Here, Peter and John had been threatened. They'd spent a night in jail. What did they do? They go back to the church. They give a report. They share it with the church. They share it with the church. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Here you have the church. They are united. They are in one accord. And they lift up their voice to God. And here's what they say. Lord, Thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is that in them is. You're the one that made it all, God. We praise you. We praise you. And then he quotes from Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. Psalms chapter 2, verse 1. This is a psalm of David. This is what David wrote hundreds of years before. David wrote, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." And goes on there and saying, "Let us break the bands," and so on. But that's what he's quoted here in Acts chapter 4. The question is, David posed the question hundreds of years before. Here it's still the same question. Why? Why do the heathen rage, those that oppose God? Why do they imagine vain things? Why is it that the kings of the earth and the rulers are gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed, the Christ? You see, that's exactly what happened with Jesus. You've got Pilate, who is a government official. You've got King Herod. You've got kings and rulers. And the Gentiles, the Roman soldiers. But you've also got the Jewish leaders that are wanting Jesus crucified. They all banded together against God's anointed, against the Christ, just as David had written hundreds of years before. Prophecy was fulfilled. And in verse 27, he affirms that. He said, "For of a truth, against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed," whom God has anointed, "both Herod, Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles, and the people of Israel, what they gathered together for to do," they were going to do something. But the strange thing is, the thing they were doing was what? What God had ordained from the very start. God's purpose is being accomplished. He says there, "For to do whatsoever thy hand," talking about God, "and thy counsel determined before to be done." Pilate and them, they may have thought they were making decisions, but they were only doing what God had ordained.
Amen.
You see, God's in control. God is sovereign. This is His world. He created it. He controls it. Then he goes on in verse 29, says, Lord, behold their threatenings. God, do you see, you hear the threats that they made? Did he say, stop them? No. He says, grant unto thy servants that with all what? Boldness. They may speak thy word. That's what they asked for, was that they would be given the courage, the power, the strength, the boldness to proclaim God's word. Sometimes I think we get to praying for the wrong things. We need to pray that God would give us boldness to proclaim His word. Because the early church, when they went out with boldness, the church multiplied. I have a little bit of a mathematical mind, and I know a little bit about addition. I also know a little bit about multiplication. And if you want to get from here to there, you can get there a whole lot faster multiplying than you can dividing or adding. You know, you can add 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2 plus 2. It takes a long time, but if you go 2 times 2 times 2 times 2, you get big in a hurry. The church in the early church was multiplying. Acts says so. The word is in there. Multiply. Because the people were bold. They proclaimed the word. He goes on. They're asking that God would grant them boldness and to speak the word. And then it says, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. Allow us to provide healing. And that signs and wonders may be done. How? By the name of thy holy child, Jesus. You know, I have to tell you, and I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but when I have seen some of these television preachers take and put their hand on somebody's head and say, heal, and stuff, I get nervous about that. But when you talk about in the name of Jesus, Jesus can do wonders. But it has to be in His name. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could leave here tonight, all of us filled with the Holy Spirit, going out with all boldness? And they spake the word of God with boldness. Verse 33 says, and with great power gave the apostles what? Witness. Of what? The resurrection. Man, we ought to, as Christians, Easter ought to be our brightest day ever when we celebrate the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus and great grace was upon them all. That needs to be our prayer. That great grace would be upon Calvary Baptist Church. That we would be bold. That we would be witnesses that we would proclaim. I don't know about you, but I love to study about the early church and how it was developing, how it was growing, how it was gaining in strength. But you know, it wasn't without problems. Next week, we'll look at some problems. But God deals with them too. Okay? Anything to add before we close? Alan, you want to lead us in a verse? Father, as we come, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that you instructed Luke to record these things for us. We pray that you'll help us to learn, but Father, not only to learn, but to apply to our lives. Father, we would ask that you would grant Calvary Baptist Church boldness, conviction, and Father, a great witness for you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and turn to page 326. Hey, Brother Tom, would you dismiss us in a word of prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we bless you this time we have together to hear your word preached to us. We pray, Lord, that you would just feel on each and every one of us that boldness that Peter and John had, Lord, and that we will not miss words, not be around the bush, but we will claim your name, Lord, your righteousness, and your salvation, the love you have for all mankind. Lord, go with us throughout the rest of this week, Lord. Give us that strength that only comes from you. For us, it's all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.